Congresswoman Tlaib delivers an anti-Semitic and anti-American speech for a rowdy crowd in Michigan.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's right, you had a day off without me, but now look who's back. Settled back into my chair. It's good to be back here on a Wednesday. Hope you all had a great day off on Monday. And of course, Will and Jordan were holding it down yesterday. But we're back, and I'm going to want to hear from you because you're going to hear these comments coming in from Congresswoman Tlaib. And of course, we're also going to hear from Chris Martin. That's right, from Coldplay. We got a lot to cover today because, you know, the intentional and unintentional anti-Semitic rhetoric, anti-American rhetoric still seems to be on the rise, whether they mean to or not. But I would say that Congresswoman Tlaib did it in a place where I believe the intentions were there. The intentions were pure, if you will. Pure evil, Will.
Right, that's a good way. Purely evil.
Yeah, there you go. And we're going to play some of that. Should we kick it off with that?
Let's start. Yeah, this is from
Let's set it up where it is. Yeah.
Right. This was in Michigan. This is at the People's Conference of Palestine. The subtitle of this conference was Gaza is the Compass. So effectively saying that we need to follow the way of Gaza as we seek to free Palestine. And this is one that caught a lot of attention because as she starts to talk to this crowd about the Palestinian cause, and she starts to take a turn back towards America. This is bite one from Congresswoman Tlaib just days ago.
They thought they could kill us, rape us, imprison us, violently uproot us from our olive tree farms, starve our children to death, and we would disappear. Well, guess what? Now we're in Congress, and we're every corner of the United States. Y'all, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. They will never truly comprehend, your Jama'a, even after 7 decades, that we aren't going anywhere. We are just getting started. I want to say to all of them, every genocide enabler, look at this room's we ain't going anywhere.
That is Rashida Tlaib with some signature language. I feel like she always throws in there. You guys can fill in the beeps for yourselves of what she was calling what she would say, quote unquote, genocide enablers, which at this point, Will, I think it's kind of an all encompassing. It feels like it's not just people who are supportive of Israel and their cause to remove Hamas from leadership. We're also talking about Americans. We're talking about anyone who they believe. And look, the first part of this you could say is pretty generic rhetoric. Generic rhetoric we've heard now for the last number of years. Nothing too, I'd say, over the top. Is it offensive? Of course it's offensive, but it's nothing extreme. And then it does take a turn. And you're right, when it starts turning towards the United States, we're now in Congress and we're in every corner of the United States. That does feel a little from the river to the sea-ish.
Well, and when we get into the next segment, stick around, because she turns it not just about the situation in the Middle East between Israel and Gaza, but she actually makes it about the United States in our very system. And it starts to show, Logan, and as we will explain throughout these next segments, that when they talk about from the river to the sea, and when they talk about free Palestine, the true meaning is starting to come out. Because it's not just about Gaza. It sounds a lot more like the rhetoric coming out of Iran between the little Saint Israel and the great Satan, the United States. And we'll talk about why in the next segment.
That's right. And phone lines are open for you. We want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we are always fighting back against this anti-American rhetoric, anti-Semitic rhetoric. And honestly, we're fighting for both sides. Whether you're left or leftist Democrat or a right-wing Republican, it doesn't matter as long as your freedom of speech is protected, but also that we are standing on the right side of this. So I'm going to encourage you to sign a petition right now. Urge Congress to support America, support Israel. Go to aclj.org/sign. We're prepared to defend America and what truly makes America great. Corn, I just got back from New York City and New Jersey. Spent a lot of time over the weekend there. Some amazing people. And it feels like this is a moment. This is a moment where the tide is turning. Be a part of that tide. Right now at aclj.org/sign.
Thank you. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
To Seculo. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. We are coming upon, once again, another weekend now as we are into the back quarter almost of the year here. We're in September. And the rhetoric as we approach, once again, another anniversary of the October attacks. Now what, going on multiple years? It's hard to even, the years start blurring together, whether it's 2 years or 3 years, however long this has been. And look, I think for a lot of us, that wear and tear that has come through mentally is starting to show. It's starting to crack in terms of, and we'll talk to Jeff Balaban about this coming up in the next segment from ACLJ Jerusalem, because there is just want for this war to end. And I can't tell you that. That's crossed my mind multiple times, going, you know what? We've got to just be able to move on. You can't spend every waking minute thinking about this. I was very lucky this weekend to spend some time in New York and New Jersey and, you know, kind of fellowship with some great people. We went to a lot of concerts and events, and these were events that were not political. These were events where there was never anyone talking about that. They were just celebratory. And that was refreshing. It was refreshing to be in an America where everything wasn't divided, where it wasn't just talking about where someone landed politically. It was about just enjoying each other's company, whether that was 200 people or 70,000 people. But we've come to this point where it feels like you've hit that point of no return where everything has to be politicized. And it's not that Rashida Tlaib, this is anything new for Rashida Tlaib. It's more that this is something that has been embraced by a certain segment of society. And I also want to play in just a minute a clip that kind of on the internet that I have, which has a lot of pro-Israel conversations and a lot of music. A conversation that happened live on stage at a Coldplay concert just over the weekend as well, where you had a couple come up on stage. We brought up by Chris Martin, the lead singer, and he asked, "Hey, where are you from?" And they say Israel. And then you can hear the crowd reaction and Chris Martin go into almost a full-blown panic to try to calm down not only the crowd, but to make himself look better. And I think he probably meant well, but chose some really poor words that push more of this dehumanizing stereotypes that come from that come from this sort of radical left that has demonized all Jewish people, all Israeli people. People, look, I mean, you go to Israel, and I want to make sure people understand this too. There are people in the streets right now, Israeli people, in the streets protesting against Netanyahu and the regime. They do not agree with what he's doing. They do not agree with what they're doing, just like there's people in the streets here protesting Donald Trump. Now, does that make them any less Israeli? Does that make the people there any less American? No, I would say in some ways, of course, that's a good thing. We should have people who disagree with us, and they should be out there saying, now, there is a line And of course, that line seems like our own Congress people are willing to cross that line into taking it from just a normal stand up against or for your party and against the current administration to taking it to bordering on violence.
Well, and Logan, this is the reality of what we're dealing with now, because a lot of people on the right have been duped by the anti-Semitic crowd, the vile things that you hear. More and more, you're seeing very top names within the conservative media space fall into this trap. And it's all based in the same hate and evil that's thousands of years old, this anti-Semitism. But what you have to realize is that their ideology isn't just about taking down Israel. It's also about taking down places like the United States, where there is a Western-style government, where there is Western-style freedoms. They don't want that. This is from Tlaib, from the same speech, just moments after that first clip we played, where she's taking it not just about, at this People for Palestine conference, it's not just about Palestine, in her words. Play bite two.
It's not just Dummi Palestinia. It's that as an American, this city taught me that the political structures that I have to work in, that we all are surrounded by, was built on slavery and genocide and rape and oppression. Detroit taught me that these institutions will never save us. Detroit will remind me constantly, the community mothers, that it's not the genocide-enabling Congress or the White House that will free our people. It is only us. It can only be us.
Logan, this is getting dangerously close to some of like overthrow-type rhetoric of she's a sitting member of Congress, and she's saying that the political structures that she has to work in, you know, poor her, being elected to Congress, has to work in these that are built on slavery and genocide. And yet, it's not the Congress or the White House, not the freedoms that are enshrined in our Constitution that can save people. It is only the people in that room.
I thought this was some of the protesting that I've seen, and whether that was from celebrities or whether that is from members of Congress. You know, there was a famous musician who got on stage this weekend and said anyone who's involved in the administration essentially is, you know, evil or whatever. Of course, that not only alienates, you know, half of your audience likely if you're playing music, but also it's this over demonization. It's no longer about whether we're going to run a better candidate next time and we are going to give a better point of view, and that better point of view is going to win us the day. It's now this talk of, like you said, of like overthrow, where it gets a bit uncomfortable to have these conversations, because it's no longer about, and you're right, it's the talking point. It's not about whether you agree or disagree. It becomes right or wrong. And when you start saying something is wrong or is evil or, you know, is genocide defending or any of the words that she was using on there, yeah, of course, your first initial thought is, well, we have to overthrow it, much like what was happening currently in the situation in Israel. They feel like they need to overthrow Hamas. They can't leave Hamas standing because we know it will just revert. Now, eventually, do things get worn out on the war field, on the battlefield? Maybe so. But look, I mean, President Trump just posted on Truth, tell Hamas to immediately give back all 20 hostages, not 2 or 5 or 7, and things are going to change rapidly and it will end. So you have President Trump still out there trying to find an end to this war that maybe doesn't involve a full submission by Hamas. And I think that's more fighting for the American people. And I don't necessarily have a big problem with that. People have asked me that specifically. Do I think that that's the solution? No. But I also saw someone this weekend said, you know, terrorism can never be defeated, so we got to stop this. Well, that's no way to look at the world either. You know, if we're not fighting for inevitable peace, what are you fighting for? And I guess the answer can't just be, well, they're going to eventually just try to kill us anyway, so might as well just let them.
Well, and once again, I think we should play this final clip, because the previous ones could just sound like fiery rhetoric, but it does take a turn which could be interpreted as, almost a direct call for some sort of violence. And we will play that just in a second. But also other speakers at this conference said things like this. This is Nidal Jabour, who is with Doctors Against Genocide, said, "It's time for us to pay back and stop the criminals, the perpetrators, the child murderers, and we all know who they are. Whether they are in Israel, in Tel Aviv, in Washington, in Germany, in Europe, we name them all. We all know them. They need to be locked up. They need to be taken out. They need to be neutralized to save children, to save humanity." That's calling for the elimination of American leaders, people in Washington directly at a conference here in the United States. And that's very similar to statement by Congresswoman Tlaib, Bite 3, where she is talking about the tactics inside Gaza already being deployed here in the U.S. Let's play Bite 3.
What's been tested on the killing fields of Gaza is already being deployed right here in the streets of America.
I don't know that there are many other ways to take that other than support of the massacre on October 7th, the way that Hamas utilizes terror to keep a people contained, have no freedom, no liberty there, no diversity there, and saying that what's been tested on, as she calls them, the killing fields of Gaza is already being deployed right here in the United States. In Gaza, you don't see a healthy legal protest community. You don't see outspoken against a tyrannical government that governs them in Gaza. That would get you killed in Gaza. The only thing you see is terror from Hamas killing Israelis, killing civilians, massacring people on October 7th. That is saying that that's being deployed right here in the streets of America. This goes beyond a call for a censure within the Congress. That doesn't stop her. That makes her more emboldened. She wears it as a badge of honor because she doesn't like the political structure she works in. That is dangerous rhetoric coming from a sitting member of Congress.
Yes, you can sign our petition right now at aclj.org/sign or scan the QR code that may or may not appear on your screen. I'm not even sure if there is a QR code. Is there, guys? Is there one? Let's see. Look at that. I think I manifested that well.
I've seen you do it before.
Yeah, so there's the QR code. You can scan it on your screen right now where you go and directly sign. You can also, you know, a great way to sign the petitions and to get involved is through our ACLJ app. We don't talk about it that much. It's been newly redesigned. It's an incredible experience. You should download it. If you become an ACLJ champion, you get sort of a custom overlay also, and it's all tailored to you. So say you care about Israel, but you don't really want to hear about even issues that maybe we find very important, like life, but you're like, you know what? I'm here. Maybe you're. There's a lot of liberal Democrats that come on and support the ACLJ because they support our work with Israel. And you're like, I only want to hear about Israel. Well, you can do that on the app. You can just opt into the topics that you really care about, and you'll get push notifications and all that. You can sign petitions with just a quick click of the button. So do that today. Go to aclj.org. Download that app if you can. We'll be right back with your calls, comments, and Jeff Balaban.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back, Secular. We are joined now, I'm going to jump right in, with Jeff Balaban, who is, you know, running our team in Israel, the ACLJ Jerusalem team. And Jeff, I know I want to preface our listeners, viewers, and those who support this show to know that currently there may be some sirens going off. And if that happens, it's because there's some airstrike warnings, which means you need to get out of Dodge and you need to get to your safe space. So if you do have to get up, that is what's happening right now. I don't know if people understand that that is still happening in Israel. And when you have Rashida Tlaib saying, you know, we need to start looking at the same tactics.
When she said, what's been tested on the killing fields of Gaza is making its way to the streets of America. Remember, Jeff Balaban right now is experiencing what she thinks is tested in the killing fields of Gaza as there may be air raid sirens.
While we were in the last segment, I have actually two apps on the phone that indicate when there may be incoming into your area of Israel. It's very well targeted to where you are, but when there's a possibility that it'll be intercepted, a large missile intercepted, as often happens from Yemen, then it's a broad area of Israel, including where I am right now. I'm going to show you, I don't know if you can see this, just came over now. This is a picture of, if you can see it, of the missile launched in Yemen that they say has been intercepted. So hopefully there will not be an alarm. The alarm goes out on launch. But if there is, yeah, I'll have to get up and run to the shelter. I happen to be in a place with a shelter on my floor, so it's not that inconvenient. Exactly what they mean. And it's interesting, the inversion of language is what struck me in terms of what Rashida Tlaib and others at that conference. They are perpetrators of genocide. The entire Palestinian collective is defined around every one of its foundational documents of its intention to commit genocide of the state of Israel and of the Jewish people. That's what the river to the sea means. It's interesting that they're adopting language inverting the truth. Others at that conference talked about how we, the normal people, Americans, we worship death, we love death. But the truth is, for decades, until they realized it's clever to invert it, they said the reason that they would win the Palestinian cause, Hamas, the Palestinian Authority, and others, is because they said openly that they love death, they worship death, and their enemies more than we love life. Well, they're being clever about how they're inverting it, but what you really hear, and it's hard for me to even believe such a person could be in Congress, that absolute hate that she has for America, the hate that she has for everything America stands for. And in the room, riling up, like the energy in that room was so hostile and so profoundly anti everything that America stands for. And yeah, that is a war, as you said before on the segment. This is not just about Israel. It has been clear from the beginning, America is the great Satan. Israel is the little Satan. The Jews, they despise. The Christians, they hate worse. And the truth is, this is a war. Israel and the Jews are on the front line of the war, but it is a cultural war, which already has come to America. She's right. They already are in Congress. They dominate the universities. And so it's very hard for Americans. I'm an American. We grow up feeling we're at peace. But the truth is, the world has changed, and we are at war. They're already waging war against us, and we have to stand up and see it for what it is.
Yeah, Jeff, over the weekend, you bring up how the rhetoric has changed so dramatically. I was in New York just outside in New Jersey at MetLife Stadium at a concert, an Oasis concert. And one of the reviews I read said how refreshing it was to just be in a room of, you know, 70,000, 80,000 people, and there weren't flags being raised of any side of politics. But there was no Palestinian flags. There was no conversation about it. They just went out, played their songs, and had a great show. And it was a unifying moment of 80,000. And now you flip over, and they said it was kind of like the end of what was going on in Britain in the 90s and what was happening in America, what really it should feel like in America. And then you go over to Wembley Stadium, and this happened over the weekend. Chris Martin and Coldplay were playing. And Coldplay, again, maybe a little more politically active, have always had, you know, maybe their finger on the pulse, a bit of what was going on. Chris Martin, highly inspired by a lot of Christian music, grow up in the faith, was raised on Delirious and a lot of those bands. You can hear those influences. But he had a moment where he brings people up on stage, and a lot of times he's had some moments this tour, where he has acknowledged Israelis that were there and people who claim Palestinian background that were there, people with flags, and try to kind of play both sides a little bit, but was honestly one of the better ones at keeping the crowd at bay. That he brought up two people up on stage, a pair of fans who came up, and I want you to hear what happened. And then I both just think he made just an atrocious mistake at some of the words he's using, because I think he's trying to figure out how to get himself out of this issue that was about to arise at Wembley Stadium. So take a look at what happens here.
Where did you come from today? From Israel. Okay, well. Okay, well, listen. I'm going to say this. I'm very grateful that you're here as humans, and I'm treating you as equal humans on earth, regardless of where you come from or don't come from. Thank you for being here. We're grateful, and thank you for being loving and kind. Okay, I'm writing a sign. And although it's controversial, maybe, I also want to welcome people in the audience from Palestine, because we have a belief that we're all equal human.
Again, a guy tried to clearly backpedal out of his conversation as the crowd erupts in boos when these two fans just say, hey, we're from Israel, we came to enjoy your concert, and he has to say, well, I'm treating you, look at me, I'm treating you as human beings. As if, number one, every Israeli represents the Israeli government, which is insane. But number two, as if that even had to be something that was, treated, had to be said. It really is a shocking moment, even if, again, the intentions may have been pure.
It's like when people say that Israel should have the right to exist, or I support Israel's right to exist. No other nation in the world is talked about that way. I support France's right to exist. It exists. The idea that the only people in the world, their right to exist as a people in peace, in safety, in sovereignty, that the Jews, that the world can't accept that, is what's so extraordinary. And you're exactly right. And by the way, because we're on the topic of music, music is so important because, you can legislate a lot of things, but you can't really legislate culture. And we at the ACLJ, we work in law. You can litigate a lot of things. We look in policy. Again, that's legislation. But also, and the reason, obviously, that we have the show is because culture is above all of those. Culture underlies all of those. And let's not forget that the worst scenes of horror happened at a music festival, kids just going to enjoy music on a Jewish holiday, and the savagery that was done to them, it doesn't even bear thinking about. And that's what the enemy is. And that's who was gathered in that room in America, in the heart of America, and sort of trying to foment that kind of hostility and hatred at a deep cultural level. Oh, wait, another notification from the phone. I have to see what it is. Yeah, no. Whether that's all clear or not, give me a second. I'm sorry.
No problem, Jeff. You focus back on that while we do this. This was a moment that really was over the week. I mean, this is what you're dealing with here. This is what Jeff has to deal with, what people who are living in Israel have to deal with. And look, Chris Martin, Coldplay are not the only example of this. I mean, Chris Martin, he has Jewish, at least partially Jewish children. He's married to Gwyneth Paltrow, who's half Jewish. That means their children, at least by a DNA sense, are part Jewish, quarter Jewish children. Of course, he's dealing with there and having to play both sides of that game. And to say, okay, we support everyone here. Everyone has the right to be here and be excited to be here as fans. I have no problem with that. It's when it takes it to the level of saying, I am here. I am doing the good thing because you are a human to me. Again, as if that should be even a question, just based on where someone is born, where someone's from, what kind of religious background they are, whatever it may be, that is somehow some universal declaration of, look at me, I'm treating you as if you're a human. It's really sad. It really is. Again, as someone who raises children and family to understand their heritage, it is where we are in society, and the culture war continues on. Thank you, Jeff. Hopefully stay safe, please. We'll be back with the second half hour Seculo coming right up. Stay tuned to ACLJ.org or on YouTube or Rumble or however you get us. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to the second half hour of Seculo. We are going to take some phone calls in this segment. I want to hear more from you at 1-800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, we were just had on Jeff Balaban, head of ACLJ Jerusalem, who had to leave, literally had to duck out at the last second of the broadcast due to some warnings of incoming missile fire. You got to remember, this is what happens in Israel all the time. You're not hearing about it every time it happens because it is continual. Of course, they have the Iron Dome. They have a lot of ways of protecting themselves. They have safe spaces. But this is what they're living through 24 hours a day, and specifically the overnight hours. This is the real deal of what's going on, and it's easy for us to forget that is what's happening. We also were talking about Rashida Tlaib making a very, very, not only anti-Semitic, but an anti-Israel, as you'd honestly expect, but really an anti-American point of view at this conference, I guess you'd say a pro-Palestinian, a pro-Gaza conference in Michigan. And then that followed up with a clip we played from Chris Martin from Coldplay, who again, people love Coldplay. I got no problem with their music. I've seen them before in concert. Goes up on stage, brings up two fans, says, "Where are you from?" They say Israel. The crowd starts booing. And Chris Martin, in a moment of, I believe he was probably trying to settle down this crowd, says essentially, "You know what? It doesn't matter where you're from and that it's controversial where you're from. I'm going to treat you like the human beings that you are." And the fact that that alone, and that is dehumanizing on its face. Again, I think his intentions were negative? I don't know. But I do believe they've been highly public in their views when it comes to some of their political points of view. There's a lot of interesting Coldplay comments. Like, I'm saving my Coldplay musical commentary. You can put that however you want. I'm not saying one way or the other. Just have fun with it. But I do feel that way when you look at this kind of commentary going, just because these two people who came as fans bought tickets. And by the way, Coldplay was here in Nashville 3 weeks ago. Tickets were so expensive to this show, the number of my friends went and stood on the bridge outside of Nissan Stadium and took their kids. That's the kind of price that they are demanding to get into the building. So this couple, not even a couple, I think it's just two friends, show up, get pulled out of stage, probably the moment of their life, a big moment of their life, and then they're told, "You know what? We don't care where you're from. Because you're from a controversial place, we're going to treat you like humans." And then have to go, and by the way, those people that have been killing you also and attacking you, where are they at? Where are you at, fam? And then let them have their moments of cheering. And because they're getting booed off the stage just because of where they were born.
That's where you see that anti-Semitism creeps in like a cancer. It literally takes over the entire way that people talk. Because if you got up there and said, "I'm from Canada," or "I'm from the United States," and he had said, "I'm going to treat you like a human regardless of where you're from." The absurd, people would maybe laugh like, "Oh, he's making a joke." Like, that is such an absurd thing to say.
Making a joke about Trump.
Right. But no, he had to find a way to be like, "Oh, it's okay. I'm going to treat you like a human, even though you're from Israel." The subtext of that is that anti-Semitism has so permeated the culture that you have to remind people from Israel are human.
All he would have had to do, if people were booing, is just say, "You know, we welcome everyone here at Coldplay. You know, this is a unifying place." Moving on. If he had to even address it at all. It wasn't like it was the whole stadium erupted in boos. Yes, you could hear them. Of course, this is in the UK where there is not only a religious, there is a Christian moment happening in the UK that we cannot you can't deny is happening. We got to keep our eyes on what's going on there. I think you are just a couple years away from a major pendulum shift in the UK. Not unlike what happened here in America. This is a big moment. Faith is on the rise. Family values are on the rise. We are seeing this. We're seeing a rejection of what has happened there over the last number of years. And again, we got to make sure we're keeping our eyes on it because it's pretty wild what's happening there. It's obviously happened in the U.S. as well. It's going to continue to happen. Phone lines are open. I want to take more calls. I'm sorry I didn't get your calls. We got Rick Grinnell coming up in the next segment. But if you're on hold right now, we are going to get to you. And we have phone lines open at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Seculo. But before we get back, I want you to take a moment and sign our petition. Go to ACLJ.org. Sign the petition. Scan the QR code. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome to Seculo. Welcome back. Rick Grinnell's joining us now live. Will, we have been talking a lot about, obviously, Rashida Tlaib and everything, all the remarks that came out this weekend in Michigan. I want to get Rick's point of view on that as well. But there's also been some pretty interesting moves in terms of world leaders getting together, having a good time together, Will. And these are ones that haven't necessarily been in the same room in a number of decades, but it's not necessarily the ones you want in the same room.
That's right. So over in China, we have Vladimir Putin visiting, Kim Jong-un visiting, and this is celebrating the surrender of Japan in World War II. And you have some strange summits going on over there.
Yeah, so you have Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un, and Vladimir Putin.
That's right. All hanging out.
All in one room.
And then you have President Trump posting this on Truth Social. The big question to be answered is whether or not President Xi of China will mention the massive amount of support and blood that the United States of America gave to China in order to help it secure its freedom from a very unfriendly foreign invader. And then he goes on to say, may President Xi and the wonderful people of China have a great and lasting day of celebration. Please give my warmest regards to Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un as you conspire against the United States of America. Maybe the most perfect Trump post of all time. But Rick, I want to get your take on what's going on over there and how the president handled it.
Well, first of all, let's just say we're so happy that it's President Trump who's in the Oval Office handling situations like this, because the reality is that he understands what's going on. He's following it in real time and reacting in real time. And so putting the Chinese in a position where the president of the United States says, I see what you're doing and I want to have good relations with you, but this is not helpful. I think is the exact position that that we want to be in. President Trump is watching it very clearly. Nothing gets by him. And yet his reflexive nature is to make sure that he's fighting for America not picking fights, not immediately going for, a conflict, but showing a little bit of humor and showing the world that he sees exactly what's going on and nothing is getting by him. And I think this is what we want to do. It is troubling to see Putin and Xi together, because rule number one of foreign policy is to make sure that Russia and China are not working together against the United States. So I think this is the exact perfect response from President Trump.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. When I saw that image, there is the part of you goes, okay, President Trump did a good job in kind of diffusing it from a public perspective, but it should be a little bit alarming that we have these guys in the room together, because again, the control, let's not de-emphasize their power and it, that they have on the world stage. That is not something to be laughed at. And of course, you said, Joseph, President Trump is still paying attention. Of course, that comes over a weekend of all of the silly rumors that were coming out of his wellness. The guy took like one day off. I mean, remember how long it was between Biden press conferences? I mean, there was like counters that were running like right. 3 months. President Trump takes one day off and they're like, well, he must not be doing very well. He must be sick. And look, 80-year-old man, sometimes you do get stuff that happens, but that was not the case. But of course, this is where we have to run to these. They honestly they stole the playbook, but not in a good way.
Right. Yeah. And Rick, one other angle of this summit that's going on that I want to ask you about is something that took place on Monday of this week, where the Prime Minister of India was actually meeting with Vladimir Putin as well as Xi Jinping. Not as surprising to see Kim Jong-un join into that group, but President Trump has had a better relationship with the Prime Minister of India than obviously the Biden administration had, and had made some great progress towards some more economic stability and trying to keep some of the interaction between Pakistan and India in check. What do you make of this show of unity between Russia and China with India on Monday, especially in light of how much progress the Trump administration had made with the Prime Minister of India?
Yeah, look, let's be clear about one thing is that all hell went into chaos when Joe Biden spent 4 years in the Oval Office trying to be the one that was running foreign policy. Remember, he didn't speak to Vladimir Putin for 3.5 years. And, you know, the relationship with India was not good. And so now President Trump is having to pick up the pieces here. And to see India, which is the natural pivot away from China for us, to see them all of a sudden continuing the relationship that they've had for the last 4 years is definitely troublesome. It didn't get past President Trump, and we're watching that closely. But the reality is that we're reminded that the United States has to keep the pressure on in order to get these relationships to a better state. That pressure for the last 4 years was completely off, and we see a whole bunch of chaos in the world. Remember, President Trump handed President Biden total peace in the Middle East and total peace in Europe, and Biden turned around and handed President Trump two world wars. It's chaos, and it's something that President Trump is now trying to dig us out of. But again, thank God we've got him there who's watching it and having as his natural instinct a position to try to find common ground, try to push for good relations with another country and the United States in order to benefit the United States. He doesn't naturally go to the conflict. Let's go to war. Let's have some sort of an attack. And I appreciate that, and I'm thankful for him.
Rick, I want to shift topics just a little bit here. Rashida Tlaib, the congresswoman out of Michigan, made some headlines after a speech she gave at a conference for Palestine over the weekend, mainly going into things about how genocidal and racist and built on slavery that all of our institutions are here in the United States. But she made this line towards the middle or end of her remarks. And I wanted to get your take on how this should be taken from a sitting member of Congress. And this is bite three about what's been tested in Gaza and making its way here.
It's been tested on the killing fields of Gaza. is already being deployed right here in the streets of America.
Sitting member of Congress is talking about the tactics and what's been tested in Gaza making its way here. That's very alarming to me and to much of our audience, and I wanted to get your take on that.
Well, three things jump out. One is she was reading those words, so it was very deliberate. It wasn't off the cuff. She was glancing down at her speech. That was a well-thought-out attack that she had planned to do. And so I think people need to realize that this is going to get worse from her. This wasn't an off-the-cuff emotional moment. It was a strategic statement. Secondly, she's lucky that she lives in the United States, where there's freedom of the press and freedom of speech and freedom of religion. She gets to say anything she wants because we have great American military men and women who protect those freedoms. I believe in the First Amendment, but she should be thankful that she lives in the United States, because here's the third point. She couldn't say those words in another country. She probably couldn't even say those words in the UK at this point. The United Kingdom is having some real problems with freedom of speech. But as crazy as her words are, and they are protected speech, I think the best way that we can deal with this is to let her words be known to every single person. Let her radicalness be known, because she's not helping her cause, for one. She's certainly not helping Michigan. She is someone who is a problem, a growing problem. And it's not just politics and PR, but it's getting to the point where she is really not helping our national security. And so she needs to be able to feel the pressure of the public on her words, because those words were strategic and very unhelpful.
Rick, I appreciate you coming on and giving your point of view on that. I want to hear more from you later on in the week and next week about even some of the more things that will, I'm sure, shake out. It's always good to hear from your point of view, specifically when it comes to sort of what's going on the world stage and even the pop culture stage, obviously, is you are heading up the Kennedy Center and all the changes that have been going on there, which is amazing. And of course, we talked about, and we played that earlier, what was going on at Wembley Stadium with Chris Martin coming out saying, oh, I brought some Israelis on stage on accident. Oh, I got to make sure to say, I'm going to treat you like a human. You know, I don't feel like that's going to happen at the Kennedy Center. I feel like maybe your team there understands that we are all are humans. And it doesn't have to be, you know, prefaced. All right. I think, go ahead, Rick.
Look, that Chris Martin fiasco was embarrassing. He didn't know what to do. No. And I think he's damaged by that now. People see him. I see a lot of criticism towards him. And that will never happen at the Kennedy Center. We're doing Parade, by the way. It's a great musical. Amazing. And it talks about anti-Semitism. So come see Parade at the Kennedy Center.
Go see Parade. I'm sure it will be Martin. Excellent. I didn't mean to cut you off, Rick. We're running out of time. But again, thank you always for coming on. We have more information about what's going on at the Kennedy Center. I always like to hear about that and support our friends in the arts and the arts community. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We got three lines open. We'll take your calls when we get back. I'll see you now.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines,
protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Finish strong today with some great callers. Don't let me down, callers. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We'll take three calls, and then we've got three more lines open. We'll try to get to as many as we can. Three will 100% make it up. Let's go to Martin first, who's an ACLJ champion. Martin, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. A comment and two real quick questions, or any case. Every elected federal government official has to take an oath to uphold the Constitution and protect the United States of America. So I believe in First Amendment free speech, but when, first of all, when does that become in potentially inciting a riot or a putting together of a government coup takeover for what Tlaib said, and I like what Rick and Nell said too. And what kind of sanctions does she have against her for doing that if it's flirting with that at this point?
Well, Martin, one, I stand with Rick saying that, you know, we are for free speech here. And a lot of times you want those people to keep saying what they believe because then everyone knows it. You don't want her to keep that inside. But as far as upholding the Constitution, yes, there is a referendum on members of the House every 2 years. So if her people don't agree with that, they should vote her out of that district and no longer represent that district. However,
she knows what she's saying, though, to get her voters fired up.
And I fortunately believe that she is not the majority of her party, even though they do have a lot of power within that. And she's definitely not the majority of America. So that's a good thing that we can stand on and why we have to keep pointing this out so it doesn't creep more. But if the House of Representatives were want to expel her, they could. Each house may determine the rules of its proceedings, punish its members for disorderly behavior, and with the concurrence of two-thirds, expel a member. We saw George Santos was expelled most recently. Other members of Congress, people during the Civil War were expelled for disloyalty. So there is a way to get someone kicked out of Congress without just voting. However, with the makeup of the Congress, I don't think that any Democrats are going to join the Republicans to expel her.
Probably not. And then, of course, you open up another door that I'm not sure we're ready to do as Americans. I mean, look, Martin, I watched a clip yesterday from Chris Cuomo's broadcast, which, you know, his whole thing now is on News Nation, be someone who's a moderate, kind of treat both sides equally. He had Ben Shapiro on, and Ben Shapiro was essentially saying, we've got to be done with pendulum politics. We've got to get people from the left and the right and the center together. When you have, or we're going to be heading for chaos, when you have Ben Shapiro, who has built his whole, I mean, the whole world of the Daily Wire, which, you know, is just down the street from us, on pretty partisan politics, I would say. Pretty one-sided in the terms. And now he's even saying, you know what? Our world is shaking right now. We've got to bring people together. And if not, this is what you're going to have. You're going to have these extremes. You're going to have people like Tlaib who can go out there and say these things. And they're not only not held accountable for it, they're celebrated by the mainstream voter. Because the mainstream voter is the ones who have not become disenfranchised with the entire political system, which is probably 80% of people at this point, who are just done, who just want to throw their hands up and say, I want to live my life. I want things to be, you know, maybe it's selfish, but to say, I'm trying to keep my family safe. And anything else, you know, it's none of my, I don't want to deal with it. It's sad when we get there. It's sad when we get there, Martin. And I appreciate you being an ACLJ champion. That's someone that gives on a monthly basis because you know we have to continue to fight for all of these important issues. So again, I want to thank you for doing that. Martin is an ACLJ champion, which is essentially like a member of the ACLJ, someone that signs up and when they donate, they decide to opt in and donate every month automatically. Of course, you can cancel anytime. Another ACLJ champion is on hold. If you become an ACLJ champion, one of the little perks I offer is you get bumped to the front of the line. So Martin was first because he'd been on hold for the longest, but Marion has only been on hold about 10 minutes because Marion is a champion. Boom, to the top. Go ahead.
Oh, Marion, you're asking me, right?
You are the one and only Marion on hold right now. Go ahead.
Well, you got that right. Okay. Yeah, first I'll ask the question. People say answer the question afterwards. But my question after my comment is I want to know how George Soros is getting away with all this upheaval, chaos that he's creating in America, putting prosecutors that don't follow the law and just trying to disrupt our nation. I don't know why nothing has been done to him for that. That's my question. And my comment is this. One of the reasons that Putin and these people around the world are very upset is because Trump is wielding one of his strongest powers, and that's the tariffs. And now we've got these activist judges that are coming along and saying, well, they're no good. We're going to get rid of the tariffs and all of that. And whereas that leverage that Trump had is now going to be removed, they're going to say, wait a minute, they might take those tariffs away within his own country, so let's just hold off as long as we can and see what happens. So they're delaying the power that Trump has using tariffs because they're thinking, hey, they might go away. So that's my comment.
All right, Marion, we got to address both these. Let's try our best to do both. But we'll start with the George Soros comment. Here's the thing. A billionaire is going to billionaire. And if you have a billionaire on your side who is this politically active, I mean, yes, there's a lot of loopholes. There's a lot of ways to work around. But a lot of these are not loopholes and ways to work around. A lot of these are very legal ways to influence what's going on in politics. And that's just the way our system is built. It's why I was very excited, by the way, when we had Elon Musk kind of on our side for a while, because you had someone like a George Soros who felt like they were at least cheering on your side for a little bit. Sadly, that had to come to an end, okay, because we couldn't keep that together. And look, I understand if you're a billionaire, you're probably a pretty eccentric person. I think you're a brilliant mind, no doubt. But it was the unfortunate situation because I think you can look at Elon and Tulsi and RFK and really thank them for what became a President Trump second term. They shook things up like no one ever had, and I would put Elon at the top of that list.
And Marion, on the judicial rulings, maybe we'll get into that some more tomorrow. We don't have enough time to really dissect it. But as you say, we've started to see some more rulings this week that were surprising in light of a lot of the leniency that the Supreme Court had given to the executive branch. A little bit more activist style and some coming out of the Fifth Circuit, which is a lot more conservative than the other appeals courts in the country. So a little bit of surprise there. We'll see how it goes. But I think some of them are set up to be overturned at the Supreme Court. We'll find that out and we'll get into that more tomorrow. You want to try to take Jerry real quick?
Jerry, real quick. We got like 45 seconds. Go ahead.
Question. Did the Tlaib comments make the mainstream media? Because I only heard about them here. And number two, interesting, she said 7 decades. She's not 70 years old, but she's referring back to the establishment of Israel. Yeah. And I don't think Rick Grenell has a hold of seat for Tashiv at parade.
Oh, Jerry, you cut off and you were on hold.
You were saying hold a seat for her at the Kennedy Center.
Yes, I know.
52-seat parade.
Call me back, Jerry, tomorrow so I can get you more on the air because you're on hold for 52 minutes. I didn't realize you were on hold that long. I apologize, number one. But yeah, of course, she's talking about the establishment of the government, the state of Israel. Of course, we know about the historical state of Israel. We know about the biblical state of Israel. Same land, same place. But of course, then when it was founded, and there's a great piece, by the way, on ACLJ.org that gives you the full breakdown on Israel, the background of Israel, so you have an understanding. Because I think some people get confused of where biblical Israel ends, where historical Israel is, where the government of Israel is, when it was founded. You hear 1948, you hear all these different years, and it may throw you off. Go to ACLJ.org, spend some time in our section on Israel, where you can really kind of deep dive so you are fully engaged in that conversation. But thank you all the people who called today. Thank you for everyone who signed the petition. You can still sign the petition. It's wide open right now for you at ACLJ.org. We're going to be back tomorrow with a lot more to talk about. And again, every day we are fighting against this anti-American, anti-Semitic rhetoric we're hearing from, sadly, from not just from pop culture, but from representatives of our own country. And you can fight back and be part of that team as well. Go to ACLJ.org. Give if you can. Sign the petition. That costs you nothing. Be a part of the team. That's again at ACLJ.org. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.